for our church family. I ask, Lord, that you would watch over them and bless them, be a help to them while they're apart from us. And Lord, we ask and pray these things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And you may be seated. Well, this evening, we're in the second week of a series that I've entitled, This Year Will Be Different. And this series really is about life-changing, long-term changes inside of your life. It's about taking your New Year's resolutions to a whole new level. Not just making a stab at it for just a couple of days and then giving up after failure of a day or two, but it's persistently and strategically pursuing them all the year long, or as long as it takes for you to accomplish that goal to make your life better, and ultimately that we might bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ in and through our bodies. But most often, change doesn't really come that easy. It might come easy for you, but listen to this, pastor, change doesn't come that easy. And I found out in my years of living, it takes hard work. And the more rooted I am in a bad habit, guess what? The longer that it's going to take and more effort it's going to take for me to get rid of that bad habit or the thing that I'm trying to change in my life. Sometimes people ask this question. They say, why doesn't God just remove this sin from my life once and for all? You ever anybody ask you that? Why doesn't God just take this sin out of my life? I know that he can. Why don't he just take it away from me? And man, to the glory of God, I give him honor and glory. I live for him all the days of my life. Why doesn't he take my temper away from me? Why doesn't he take my desire for alcohol or tobacco? Why doesn't he take my addiction to food away? Why doesn't God just take those lustful thoughts away from me? And then you'll hear someone say this. I happened to be watching a television the other day, and a guy was on there, and the 700 Club was on. And this guy that was on the 700 Club said that he's been addicted to heroin for 20 years. One day, he got so sick of himself, he prayed and asked the Lord to save him, and immediately, God delivered him from heroin at the moment of his salvation. He hasn't touched it since, hasn't thought about it, it's been put behind him, never, ever to be thought again. Then he hears someone say, if God does it for him, why won't God do that for me? Let me help you. Sometimes God does that. He does that. He'll break someone's addiction. He'll break a bad habit in their life. He'll cause them immediately to stop doing some things. I remember when I first got saved and trusted in Christ as my Savior, that I had the habit of a lot of military people, I would swear all the time. It wasn't I'd swear to be angry, I'd just swear as part of my normal vocabulary, and it was disgusting and it was dirty. But I want to let you know that immediately upon my profession of faith in Jesus Christ, he took that away from me. I didn't have to work on it, I didn't have to stab at it, I didn't have to think about it, he just took it away. And another habit that I had as well, and that was smoking. And listen, if God could take away my swearing, he could take away my smoking, but he chose not to do that. You see, it's not my choice, it's God's choice. And sometimes God can do that, but more than often, God has a method for making us holy, and that is relying on him day in and day out. Well, last week we read from the book of Philippians, and which Paul wrote. He wrote that, if you remember, toward the end of his life. And he said in Philippians 3 and verse number 12, not as though I had already obtained, either were already perfect, but he said this, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. So basically, Paul was saying this. It didn't happen for me overnight as well. He didn't get his whole life straightened out at the moment of his salvation. And so probably, it's not going to happen to you either. Change generally takes time in our life. And I think God intends it that way. He desires it to be that way. Because he wants our relationship to be an ongoing process. Now think for a moment. If this would happen, if the moment you got saved, I mean, you were set apart and you were sanctified. You didn't smoke, you didn't drink, you didn't curse, you didn't do anything wrong. Listen, we'd get kind of an attitude that we wouldn't really need God anymore. We feel that we're almost arrived. We wouldn't have much sin in our life. We wouldn't have to go to God to ask for forgiveness. But God desires that a relationship would be an ongoing process. The Christian life isn't about flashes and spiritual brilliance, just like a flash in a pan. It's about day-to-day consistency. It's a spiritual growth takes time, and we find that in the area of daily consistency with our walk with the Lord. What we need to do then is to develop a daily routine in our life that will take us to where God wants us to be. And if you take a close look at your life right now, go ahead and do that. Think about it. Take a close look at your life. You'll see that your life today, whether it's good or whether it's bad, is a result of your daily routine over the past months and years of your life. Think about it for just a few moments. If you were to look at yourself and you were to say, "Hey, 10 minutes, Pastor Dave, but I am 50 pounds overweight. Let me just help you for a moment. It didn't happen that you're 50 pounds overweight because you ate 50 pounds of pizza last week. It didn't happen that way. Your weight gain has probably been a constant process, no doubt, for months and months and maybe even years. Maybe you're at work and you're succeeding at work. Your success at work didn't happen because last Friday before you left work, you said, "I'm going to put a great effort in today," and you're going to have great success because of that one day. Your success is the result of a daily decision that you made throughout your career at that place to do your very best for the honor and glory of the Lord. And all of these things in your life that are working, and even those things that are not working in your life, are a result of your daily routine up to this point of right now at this service. If you want to create lasting change in your life, then you need to build your daily routine and actions that will generate this type of change in your life. Then you can do those things day after day after day after day because God is so good to you. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Let's just say that you're looking at your life right now and you realize you're just a little bit overweight. Maybe that was you with those 50 pounds, and you're looking at your life, and maybe you realize you're tired all the time. You don't have any energy that you used to have, and we can blame it on age, and we can blame it on inactivity. We can blame it on a lot of different things, but probably it's the weight that we carry around, and myself included. Maybe you're always cold, or maybe you can't sleep at all, or maybe you sleep all the time, whatever the case may be. You just don't feel very healthy. So you decide that you want to make some changes in your life. And you want to be healthy. You do want to feel better. And you want to take care of that temple that God has given you and commanded us to take care of. So if these changes are going to happen in your life, that you're going to be healthy and you're going to be physically fit, you're going to have energy, you're going to get the right amount of sleep and things like that, you have to understand that they have to happen daily in your life. You can't all of a sudden wake up tomorrow and say, "Boy, I like what Pastor Dave said, I'm going to go to the gym today." And you go to the gym and you work out from the 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night. And you come out of there dripping in sweat. You lost 15 pounds because all the water weight has gone off of you. And you're exhausted. And you come back to your house and you sit down and say, "Thank God I'm done for the whole year. I got my exercise in." Listen, that's not going to work. You're going to have to do it on a daily basis. You're going to have to build habits into your daily routine that will take you in the direction of being a healthy person. Maybe something like this. You're going to have to determine in your daily routine, you're going to have to walk, run, work out, or lift weights, or do some kind of aerobics. You're going to have to determine that you're going to turn the TV off at a decent hour and get to bed and get some proper rest. You're going to have to eat salad instead of that fried food for lunch that you have every day. You're going to have to eat fruit instead of ice cream. You're going to have to determine in your daily routine that you're going to have to eat steamed vegetables instead of pizza. Well, I don't know why I put that in there. We won't go there. But the truth of the matter is you're going to have to make some daily choices to help you get to where you want to be. And as you build these habits in your life, day in and day out, day after day, you'll find that over time that you'll become a healthy person. And that's the way change happens in our lives. It applies to our spiritual life as well as our physical life. If you want to grow closer to God, if you want to be more like Jesus, if you want to be more Christ-like, if you want to be more holy, guess what? It's a step-by-step-by-step process. At this point, I want to make something pretty clear to you this evening. Some things in our Christian life happen instantaneously. Some other things in our Christian life do not happen instantaneously, and we have to work at them consistently in our life. And when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and receive him as your personal Savior, guess what? It happens immediately. When you ask God to forgive you, guess what? He does so immediately. When you pray and ask the Lord to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be empowered to do a work for him according to his will, it happens right then and right there. These things happen instantaneously, and I thank God for those. But spiritual maturity does not happen instantaneously. It happens over the long haul. Spiritual maturity takes time. Holiness takes time. Becoming a better person takes time. You have to work at it consistently, day in and day out. That's the principle of repetition. You do the same thing again and again and again, and the more you do it, the stronger it becomes in your life. You know, this works on both the positive side of your life, but it also works on the negative side of your life. So make sure that the things that you do on a daily basis are things that move you in the direction of making your life better and not worse. So many times we find ourselves stuck in a rut, and we continue to do those daily things, but those daily things keep dragging us down instead of exhorting us and lifting us up. Well, here in our text, we find that David said in Psalm 90 and verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." David is simply saying this. He's saying every single day of your life counts, and how we spend that day adds up to the sum total of what our life is going to become and what our life is in the present. So a question that oftentimes we're asked is this: when you die, what do you want people to be able to say about you? When you pass on and off into eternity, what do you want people to say about you? And whatever your answer is, it has to be built upon your daily schedule. It has to be built upon your daily consistent things in order for someone to say those things about you. So the truth of the matter is that if you want someone to say good things about you when you're passed on, you have to do good things daily, consistently, for them to be able to do that. Well, the name of this series that we're in on Sunday evenings is entitled, "This Year is Going to Be Different." It's about creating lasting change in your life. And I trust and pray that last week's message perhaps was a real blessing to you. And you can change your life in daily increments. And here's how you do it. First of all, you decide what it is you want to accomplish. What do I want to do, being led by the Holy Spirit of God? And then decide what actions are necessary to be taken to reach that goal. And then you have to work out those specific actions and put them into your daily routine. And if and when, and let me help you, you probably will get off track. Get back on track as fast as you can and keep on going. Don't even look back at where you fell off at. Just press forward for the glory of God. The only way you can fall at this is just to quit trying altogether. That's where you fail. That's where failure comes. When you fall off and say, "I'm quitting. I'm done with it altogether." Let me illustrate it to you this way. If your goal, for example, is to be the greatest husband on the planet Earth, then you make a list of all the things that you need to do to be the greatest husband and have a great relationship with your wife, and you work that list into your daily schedule. And when you get off track, recognize it immediately. Repent of that, and then get back on track and start doing what God has told you to do to be the world's greatest husband in all the world. Some people, I can see smoke rising because you're thinking about this. And you're saying, "Well, Pastor, it's kind of not that cut and dried. It's not that easy." Listen, I'll agree with you on the last point. It isn't easy, because lasting change really takes a calculated, methodical approach. It takes you to write it down, to think about it, to meditate upon it, get God's mind on it, and enter it into your daily routine. Well, it doesn't happen by accident. I wish that it would. You don't wake up one morning and all of a sudden discover that your life has magically come together. You're not living in la-la land. You're not the prince that was kissed, as a princess kissed the frog and turned into the prince. We don't live in that kind of land, I can guarantee you that. It isn't something like this: Oh my, isn't it amazing that I've already lost 30 pounds? I've doubled my income. My wife and I are back in our honeymoon phase, and my children are suddenly so well-behaved and well-adjusted. I don't know how it happened. It just sort of fell into place. Listen, our lives do not fall into place like that. Our lives are changed because we make changes to our daily schedule, and we consistently do that. Many people live their lives as they expect change to take place, just like we just said. And there's millions of married people out there who want to have their marriage rejuvenated. They know that their marriage relationship with their spouse is not what God intended. They know it's not what they intended. They know it's just not right. But listen, they're not willing to do anything to bring new life into that relationship, so they keep drifting farther and farther and farther apart. There are millions and upon millions of parents out there who see their relationship with their children and even their adult children begin to slowly deteriorate. And they know things need to change, or they'll lose their kids to the world, or they'll lose their adult children to the world, but they're not willing to make the daily changes in their life that it takes to change their lives. So they keep making the same mistakes over and over, over and over. Nothing ever changes. Perhaps some of you are here today and you've been saved for a lot of years. And you wonder, perhaps, this thought: why isn't my relationship with God and Jesus Christ just as fresh and just as exciting as it was when I first came to Christ that first week? And you're hoping that somehow God will send a lightning bolt down from heaven and knock you on top of the head and change everything. Listen, that's probably not going to happen. I'm not God, so I can't say it won't, but I'm here to say it's probably not going to happen. If you're hoping to have a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take a daily commitment to grow closer to Him. If you want to create some kind of lasting change in your life, you have to create a daily routine that moves you from where you are to that direction of being closer with Him. Now, as you try to build a daily routine that takes you into the direction that you feel God would have you to go in 2017, in Psalms we find there are three principles, from the book of Proverbs that I believe will help you to do that as well. Notice the first principle to help you move from where you are to where you need to be. First of all, recognize the power of one. Recognize the power of one. Everything in this world is made up of ones. If you have $1 million, your fortune is made up of, guess what? 1,000,000 $1 bills. Now, you might not literally have 1,000,000 $1 bills, but that is what it is made up of. If you walk 500 miles, the journey consists of hundreds of thousands of steps. Guess what? Those steps are made one at a time. We need to recognize the power of one. If you live 70 years, your life is made up of about 255,675 days. Guess how those days are lived? One day at a time. If you take $1 out of your bank account, one, two, three, or even four times, you may not even miss it. But if you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, eventually you're going to be broke. Even though it's only just $1, when you waste it, it adds up, and before you know, it's going to come back to haunt you, because you go to the bank, and you'll have no money left in there. I think the biggest lie that we tell ourselves is simply this. It's this lie of the one that prevents us from experiencing deep change inside of our life. We say this one won't hurt. Just this one time won't hurt. It's only $1. I'll never miss just $1. It's only one little piece of pizza, and one little piece is not going to make me obese. It's only one little ball game and one dull band recital. My children won't mind if I miss just one of that. My kids will understand. So I didn't work out today, Pastor Dave. What's missing one day of exercise really going to hurt me? And we could go on and on and on. You see, we keep telling ourselves this, and the ones begin to multiply one after another and after another, and pretty soon we're back to where we started from, and nothing has changed in our life. And I think sometimes in our walk with the Lord, we find ourselves in just that way, that we don't understand the multiple of one, and one adds to another, and one adds to another, one adds to another, and already you're up to four. But on the other side of the coin, many times we don't know what we know we should do before we think. And it goes something like this. We think this. What good is it going to do? Really, what good is it going to do? Why do I have to go down to the gym just today and work so hard? Why do I have to go in a little bit early to work today? What good is it going to do? I'm so far behind in my work, I'm never going to catch up in my work. Or sometimes we say this, what good is it really going to do for me to spend some quality time with my wife and family today? Our relationship's too far gone. There's nothing we can do to get it back. And we lie to ourselves about the power of one, and we use that as an excuse never to take action. Positive and negative. And so we should look at the positive side, and not always the negative side. And in Proverbs 13, we find Solomon teaches this very simple principle, and it's found in Proverbs 13:11. He says this, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. So he's simply saying this, you don't become wealthy overnight. You have to build your fortune a little at a time. And he's talking about more than just financial management here. He's talking about our life management. And that same principle that takes you from rags to riches, takes you from disobedience to obedience, from the brink of divorce to being reunited in romance in your marriage, from rebellious children to a tight-knit family unit. But it all happens little by little, one step at a time, one day at a time. The trouble is with us, we live in a world that we want to see the results immediately. We want to give Miss Nolan $1 million. We want to see $2 million the next day when we check our 401k. That's the way we live. We put in popcorn and wine, and it takes 2 minutes and 30 seconds. When in the old days, you have to stand over the stove, and it take 10 or 15 minutes. We all want everything to be done in a hurry. We want to see immediate results, but God wants us to walk in faith day by day and let the results come in God's timing and not always in our timing. It takes great faith to be consistent, because the results don't happen overnight. And if we're not careful, we can be discouraged while we're waiting on God. But listen, don't ever lose sight of the power of one. When we say, oh, it's just one ice cream, I'm not going to blow my diet. No, one ice cream perhaps won't blow your diet. But then at the lunch the next day, instead of eating salad, you get a pizza, and you say, well, it's just one slice. Listen, don't overestimate the power of one. Have you ever been watching a ball game where one team was blowing out the other one, and the team that was winning made a bad mistake, and the coach on the sideline goes ballistic and starts yelling at the player who committed that one mistake? You know, sometimes I'm thinking, who cares? I mean, they're winning 30-0. What's it really matter? What are you so upset about? You're winning the game. One little mistake is not going to change the course of this game for you to win or lose. But you see, the coach wasn't thinking about the score. He's thinking about that one play. He understands that one play leads to another play, and another play to another play, and he realizes that regardless of the score, each play is important to the overall picture and the plan that the team has put together for them to reach their goal of winning that game. So whether you're winning or whether you're losing, each play is very important. Well, not only should we recognize the power of one, but then notice something else. We need to recognize the power of momentum. And this is what is known as the principle of the grease tracks. And when you're moving in one direction, the longer you move in that direction, the more speed that you'll pick up. And guess what? The faster that you're going to go in that one direction. You oftentimes see this in business. Company is moving in the direction of success. They have great sales. Their revenues begin to increase. They expand. Sales increase even more. Revenues go up even more. They expand even more. They have great sales begin to escalate. Revenues skyrocket. Profits begin to soar. And with each day, it seems like success comes easier and faster as they're moving down the road. I think perhaps of Walmart and Microsoft and Apple are pretty two obvious examples of this. But also works the other way as well. When a company is on the skids and they stop thinking about expansion and they begin to start focusing on not expanding but just surviving and saving cash and not spending. And listen, the trouble is that momentum that they're going is in the wrong direction and will continue for them to be in that wrong direction. If you're not moving in that right direction, even though changes may be difficult to come at first, you're going to have to decide to make the changes in your life. Solomon addressed this when he spoke about laziness in Proverbs 19 and verse 15. Here we find, he says, "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall hunger." Have you noticed how true this statement is? The less that you do, the less you feel like doing. You ever get in slumps like that, particularly like on a rainy 2 or 3 day, and maybe you come home Friday afternoon after work and it's raining outside and it's raining all weekend, so we're not going out soul winning and can't do any work on the house, and you already cleaned the house, so you just start sitting around. And you sit around Friday after you get home, and you get up Saturday, it's still raining, there's not really any work left to do, and so guess what? You lay around Saturday, and you lay around Saturday night, you wake up Sunday morning, and guess what? You want to lay around Sunday, but the Lord says, oh no, not today, you're getting up. But the truth of the matter is, the more you lay around the house, the more that you want to do nothing but just lay around the house. That's the principle of momentum in the opposite direction. There was a physical therapist one time when I had my second time I had my knee operated on. He told me this. He said, "David," he said, "energy begets energy." He said, "If you want more energy in your life, you have to spend what you have, and then you'll get more." And I thought, well, glory to God, that's about the truth of the matter there. And he was making reference to me getting my knee better, to go for it and just do what it takes, no matter if it hurt or not, because eventually one day it would pay off. When you're trying to create lasting change in your life, your first efforts might just be pitiful. You know, if you go on a diet and you're trying to lose weight because you want to be more healthy, I mean, you might struggle the first couple days and you look at the raisinettes by your chair and they just look so good. You just get a handful. Then the wife comes home with those Valentine cakes and boy, they just look so good. And the nachos are there just waiting to be made and you're stumbling. You're having all kinds of problems in your life, and it just seems like your feeble attempts to have a diet are almost laughable. But you know what? If you keep moving in that right direction, you begin to pick up some momentum and you begin to see some progress in your life. And if you make a resolution to have a daily time alone with God, your first efforts, I'm telling you what, are going to seem forced and dry. You're going to wake up and go, oh no, it's 5:30, got to read my Bible. Where's my coffee pot at? Okay, Lord, let's read the Bible. Oh no, I'm in Chronicles. Oh no, not Chronicles. It's going to seem forced and it's going to seem dry. And just like maybe you're thinking, well, I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm just going through the motions. Let me help you. Keep just going through the motions. Keep going through the motions. Keep at it. With every day, you'll pick up speed. With every day, you'll gain momentum. With every day, you'll gain a greater fondness and the likeness to it as you build upon this daily routine of doing your prayer and Bible reading. With every day, you'll come closer and closer and closer to creating that lasting change in your life that you desire. Well, if you want to create lasting change in your life, you're going to have to, number one, recognize the power of one. Number two, you're going to have to recognize the power of momentum in your life. And notice lastly, and then we'll be done, you're going to have to recognize the power of persistence. You know, Solomon said in Proverbs 10 and verse number 4, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." Solomon is just not talking about money here in this verse. He's talking about his life. He's talking about the life he's experienced. He's talking about a life that we can experience, or maybe the life we're experiencing right now. And he's saying, if you keep working towards your goal, and you keep on working, and you keep on working, and never give up, he said, eventually you're going to get there. And the only way you can fail in your goal of making this year different than 2016, if you just flat out and give up, that's the only way that you can fail. And if you keep trying, even if you have failures, but you get back on the horse and you're persistent, guess what? You're eventually going to make it. And that means if you blow it one day, just pick up where you left off and get started again. That's why I continually remind you, if you're doing our daily Bible reading plan and you missed a couple days or even missed a week, don't go back and try to start where you got off at. Just start today. Start today afresh and anew and make it a daily routine inside your life. Persistence means doing it as long as it takes to get the job done. A pastor had been pastoring a church for more than 20 years. For 16 years of those 20 years, they averaged less than 250 people in attendance. And the last few years, those last 4 years, they've begun to grow. And now they average more than 1,000 people every Sunday. And his pastor friend was curious about that. And he asked him, he said, "Well, what changed? What did you do? What changed? What did you start doing differently these past 4 years that you didn't do the other 16 years that created this kind of growth?" He was interested in it. He wanted to have that same kind of growth in his church. And that pastor looked at his friend. He said, "Basically, I'm doing exactly the same thing that I did then that I'm doing now for the last 16 years. It just took a long time to see the results from God. But it was well worth the wait." Well, as we close tonight, if you want to create a lasting change in your life, the good news is you can. It's within your ability to, as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to be our helper. But remember, you change your life one day at a time. And you have to create some kind of daily routine that takes you to where you want to go. Do you want to have a close relationship with God? Do you want to grow closer to Him? You have to walk to Him, walk with Him day in and day out. Do you want to revolutionize your family life? Do you want to build your relationship with your spouse and your children? It takes it to happen day after day after day. Do you want to take control of your finances and perhaps get in better physical shape or maybe build your business or ministry to the glory of God? It's done on a daily basis, day after day after day. And that's how God wants us to number our days and make them count for an eternity. If you'll just remember the power of one, if we remember the power of momentum and you remember the power of persistence, it will help us to spend our days doing what we need to do in order to create lives that God wants us to be. God is so good to us. He's our present helper in all times if you'll just trust in Him. Father, we love You this evening. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us. We thank You, Lord, for this passage in Psalm 90 that the psalmist writing tells us to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Father, if we're going to have a better year this year than last year, Father, if we are truly going to have a different year than last year, we are going to have to develop a daily routine. And we'll only develop that daily routine, Lord, by remembering the power of one, the power of momentum, and the power of persistence. So, Father, help us to spend our days doing just that. Father, would you bless your people that are gathered here this evening? Oh, Father, may they come away with something they can use that they'll be different this year than last year. So, Father, we do love you and we do thank you. And we praise you and give you honor and glory. For in Christ's name we pray. Let's stand to our